Hello, and welcome to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur, where Hayut Yogev speaks with entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs about reaching or missing the critical point of approaching the right customer with the right message at the right time and place, the point where business success starts. And here is your host, Hayut Yogev.
Reach or Miss, episode 14. Hey, hey to you, our listeners. We are on episode 14 and I'm just about to welcome Daniel Geffen. What a pleasure it is to have with us today Daniel Geffen. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, Chayot, how are you?
I'm great and I'm so happy to have you here with us and great to have you. Pick your mind.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be on your show.
Thanks. Daniel Geffen, podcaster and co-founder of Get Featured, started out on six-figure salary at age 23, went broke and got evicted onto the streets with family. Started business from scratch, went broke again, outsourced his business to a competitor, ran his company out of a hotel lobby for a year, and semi-retired on passive earnings at 31. Launched podcast show, which was recently rated top 26 podcasts to listen to in 2017. Launched new company called Get Featured, which gets people featured on top-rated podcast shows. I just shared with our audience what you did until now. I would like to ask you to share with us what are you doing and most passionate about today and where are you heading?
Well, today, basically, I'm busy with my podcast show called Can I Pick Your Brain? And basically, similar to yourself, Chayot, I pick the brains of successful entrepreneurs to find out how they became successful. You know, what did they do? And that's one of the things that I'm busy with. And I've also launched a new company called Get Featured. So it's getfeatured.com, where we help people get on targeted podcast shows so they can get, you know, more brand exposure for their self-branding.
It's beautiful because it seems like podcasts started to act a bit like PR, like the media, isn't it?
They're actually more, I think they're more powerful than any PR. And I would even go so far as to say they're more powerful than any marketing or advertising that you could do.
As a guest, to promote your business.
Yes, as a guest on a show, I think it's more powerful than anything else.
Fascinating.
And we can get into that if you want. I could tell you why I
think
that.
Please do.
So basically, I think that what it really comes down to, Chayot, is there's such a thing called permission marketing versus interruptive marketing. So interruptive marketing is when you get interrupted by somebody trying to sell you something, right? So a good example would be you scroll down your Facebook feed and suddenly you get a sponsored pop-up that, you know, just kind of interrupts your feed, right? It's like, hi, buy this, right?
Or sure.
You go on YouTube and you want to watch a video on YouTube, but you've got to wait 5 seconds because somebody needs to sell you something. And of course, we all sit there and we wait those 5 seconds and we're like clicking away, skip, 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 right?
Like, sure.
Get that out, right? We're not interested in watching an ad. Like, I want to buy when I want to buy, but don't interrupt me and try to sell me something, because then not only am I not going to buy from you, but I'm actually going to have a negative experience with your brand. So, you know, another example is somebody calls you up on the phone. Hello, is that Miss Yogev? Yes, who's this? Yeah, have you thought about getting life insurance? It's like, oh, God, leave me alone. Like, why are you, where'd you get my number from? And you hang up the phone, right?
Sure.
We hate being sold to, but we love to buy. And when people give you permission to buy, it's the most powerful thing, right? So for those of you listening to this, whatever you're doing, whatever you're selling, whether it's a product or a service. Imagine if you had people who literally came to you and asked you to sell them something. Right? Imagine such a world where you didn't have to sell anything to anybody. People would come to you and ask you to buy. Wouldn't that be absolutely incredible?
Daniel, right? I'm going to disturb you for a minute and say that in many ways, the right marketing does exactly that, create the demand.
Correct. You're right. And for me, the best form of doing it, doing the right marketing, is by getting on podcast shows as a guest.
Wow.
There are other ways you can do it, but I'm saying the most powerful way is by getting on a show and being a guest on a show. And the reason why is very simple. When you go on a podcast show and you're a guest, then people, like, let's take this as an example. I'm a guest right now on your show, right? So all of your listeners listening to this right now, why are they listening?
Because you are interesting for them. It's interesting to them.
No, they're not. They're not listening to this because I'm interested. It's interesting. They're listening to this because they like you. They like you. And so because they like you and they like your show, they're listening to this episode right now.
Or because they trust me that I will bring something interesting for them.
Yes.
I guess.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, 100%. They like you, they know you, and they trust you. They don't know me. They don't know Daniel. A lot of most people listening to this may never have heard of me. But because they know you as the host, and they like the guests you've had on, and they like the questions, and they like you as a person, so they're listening to this show right now. So I haven't forced anybody to come and listen to me. They're listening because they want to.
Yeah.
So now...
Sure.
I have the opportunity to really have them get to know me as a person. And then if I have something to sell, if I have something to offer, they're more likely to buy from me because they've got to know me as a person before my product. And that's the key. That is the key.
Beautiful. Although marketing is demanding everything, the comparison that you're making between those two, between a push to sell or somebody is asking you to sell, I think it's a very interesting one. I really love that.
Yeah. And the problem is that I think most people, they try to spam, they try to play the numbers game, right?
Right.
If I just spam, 1,000 people, if I send 1,000 emails, or if I send 20,000 emails, I'm going to get something. Right. If I do, $10,000 on Facebook ads and just throw Facebook ads all over the place, something's going to happen. And it's in my opinion, it's a very lazy approach and it's very short term. Because, like I said, we're living in a generation where there's so much noise and there's so many people being sold to and they don't want to be sold to. It's very simple. So when they come onto a podcast show, they're sharing their story. Right. So they share their story. They talk about who they are as a person and they build trust and then they become the expert in what they do. And then I want to buy from you, not because I think you have the best product or the cheapest product. I want to buy from you because I like you.
I love that.
Because I believe in you, because I believe in your story.
I didn't think of it that way, I must say. And I think you're bringing a very, very interesting point. And I want to ask you, who are your customers today?
So for Get Featured, the ideal customer for us is really somebody who is looking to build their self-brand. Right. People who are looking to play the long term game, not short term. They don't want to. They're not looking to make a quick buck. What they're looking to do is to really build their brand, because ultimately what they understand is, take Gary Vaynerchuk as an example. OK,
sure.
Gary has built something that's priceless. Why do I say it's priceless? I'll tell you why it's priceless. Because if Gary went broke tomorrow, if Gary's companies all collapsed, and he went bust, and he went bankrupt, how long do you think it would take Gary to build up his companies again and build up his wealth?
Seconds, probably. Or a day.
Maybe not seconds, but it wouldn't take him very long, right? Mm. The reason why it wouldn't take him very long is because he has something that he's built called a network. A network of people who like him, know him, and trust him. And he can literally start a company in almost any industry, and he has people who he could who would buy from him instantly.
He has a network and he built a brand. He is a very strong brand.
Correct. So those types of people, the people who have that mentality, those are the clients that we want to work with. The people who want to invest in their brand, in their network, because your brand and your network is timeless and priceless. So Richard Branson's another example. Richard Branson, his network, right, his contacts that he's built over the years, there is no value on that. Because if he went bust tomorrow, if all of his companies, and he has, I don't know how many companies, maybe tons and tons of different companies, right? 50 plus companies.
Yeah, he's quite a successful guy, I would say.
Successful. But if Richard literally went bust tomorrow, which would be very difficult, but if he did, again, how long would it take him to rebuild? Not very long, because, again, he's got a network. And so the question that I'm asking this to the audience, to the people listening, my question to you is, what camp do you fit in? Are you in the short-term camp where if you stop selling today, if you stop putting money into advertising and marketing today, would your company still run? If you went broke and your company just died, how long would it take you to build another company? How big is your network and how much is your network worth? Those are the questions that I would ask you, because ultimately the most successful people that I've had on my show, and I've interviewed now almost 90 highly, highly successful entrepreneurs, and they had one thing in common, their network. They have built themselves a network. And you know what? I don't even like the word brand so much, because brand.
I love it.
I know you love it, but here's the thing. Brand, to me, when I think of brand, I think of a product. But when I think of network, I think of people. And I think people are more powerful than products.
Definitely. Definitely you are right. Although I think the idea of a brand, and I'm not talking directly about a person as a brand, although it can be a person, it can be a company, you can do a lot of things with brand even without having a network. Just because people heard that you have something very interesting, because people heard that Daniel Geffen has picked so many brains, and he is so successful in talking with successful entrepreneurs, so they will come. So it's not only about the network, it's also about the perception in the brain of your customer. But this is another discussion. I want to stay with what you believe, and you believe in the network. I wanted to ask you, perhaps you just said it, but I wanted to ask you for your best advice for regarding approaching the customers.
So I would say the best advice for me would be to be really authentic. And a lot of people, they think that in order to gain trust, they need to look professional, right? They need to look professional. They need to look like they've been around for many years. They need to look like a big company. And I would argue and say, maybe that was true 10 years ago, 20 years ago, but today, we're living in a different generation. We're living in a generation that they want to see who you are. They want to see the person behind the company. And even if it means maybe it's you in your pajamas, growing the business, you know, and that is it. That's what people are buying into. They're buying into the people behind the company. So Russell Brunson, for example, does this really well. From ClickFunnels, Russell Brunson.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, one of the best marketers in the planet. And the reason why I believe he's one of the best is because he takes you into his personal life. He shows you what he does and how he builds what he builds. And that's what's fascinating. People love when they see how you did it. And, you know, what really connects people is sometimes their vulnerability, their weaknesses. So, for example, what Russell does a lot of the time is he'll show you him actually messing up. You know, he's about to do a Facebook Live and they're like rushing around and they've, you know, forgotten this and they've forgotten that and the internet goes down. And that's what we want to see, because if everything's roses, if everything's just going great, then we kind of feel almost distant because I can't relate to that, because everything doesn't go like that in my life. But when I see that actually you're human, that you're like me, that we all make mistakes, that we, that you have kids as well, and your wife screams at you, and you know, you have nervous breakdowns, and that's what connects me to you. You know, and I'll give an example. On Facebook, right? Many times I've posted cute quotes. You know, people like to quote things, and they like to do these cool, you know, sayings and whatever. And they're nice. They're okay. But they don't get that much engagement. People don't really care that much about a quote. You know, it's cool. But when you talk about something that's near and dear to you and something that's raw and real, people love that. So for me, I once posted about my grandfather, and it was very interesting because I didn't do it because I was trying to get attention or that I was trying to game the system. I just was posting because I like to post about, you know, my family and who I am. Because again, it goes back to what I was saying before. When people know who you are and they feel like they know you as a person, they're much more likely to buy from you. And so it was Memorial Day for the Holocaust. My grandfather was actually in the Holocaust. He lost both of his parents. He watched both of them get shot in the head, and all of his siblings were killed. And he was also shot, but the bullet missed his head and it hit him in the shoulder. And my grandfather fell to the ground and he lay there amongst all the bodies and he didn't move. He pretended to be dead.
Oh, how old was he?
He was about 14, 15 years old. And he lay there, and when it got dark, he got up and he ran. And he went through hell. I mean, he literally went through hell. He was hung twice. Both times the sirens went off. There were false alarms, and he managed to go free and run away. And then they caught him again. One time he was about 15 feet from the gas chambers. He was standing in the line, and a Nazi soldier was standing next to him with his horse, and the horse made on the Nazi's boot. Cool. The Nazi turned to the person closest to him, who was my grandfather, and he said, "Get out here, you dirty Jew, and clean this up." And so my grandfather went out of the line and cleaned the boot. And when he finished, the Nazi said to him, "Get out of here."
Wow.
So my grandfather survived through complete miracles. And in his memory, I posted this story, this story about him. He passed away about, I think it was 3 years ago now, at the age of 82. And what I wrote about my grandfather was I said that I've interviewed about, you know, almost 100 very, very successful people in all walks of life, whether they're athletes or business. But nobody inspires me more than my grandfather. Mm-hmm. My grandfather went through hell and he had every reason to give up on life. And instead he stood strong and he wore this beautiful smile and he built himself a family. And if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be alive today.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful story. Wow.
And I posted that, and I'll be honest with you, Chayot, I had absolutely no idea the response that I was going to get. I had no idea. That post got shared about 500 times. It got thousands and thousands of likes and reactions, hundreds and hundreds of comments. It went viral. And literally, I mean, I was so taken back. I was so shocked. I've never seen a reaction like that from any, and I post regularly, and it got me to realize something very powerful. And if there's one thing that the people listening to this, if you guys, if there's one thing to take away from what I'm saying today, it's this. We live in a world that is filled with a lot of fake people trying to pretend to be something that they're not because they want to impress other people. We take pictures of ourselves and selfies and we do filters and we take different angles and we pretend to be somebody we're not. We pretend that we're bigger than we are. We pretend that we make more money than we are. We stand in front of cars that we don't own and houses we don't own to impress people that don't really care. And here's the little secret. You ready for this one?
I am.
The secret is that people actually crave authenticity. They crave real, genuine people. And if you can do that, you'll have no problem getting people to buy from you.
Wow. Daniel, you're bringing something new to the table. I love it. I love it because so many years, so many consultants tried to teach everybody to look professional, to dress professional, to be what they aren't. And I think one of the beautiful things that happens with the transparency that we are all experiencing through social media and the internet and everything is that it becomes more and more difficult to be somebody that you are not. And you can see a lot of fathers are sharing with their kids something that nobody did before. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody talked about their kids before. And I talk about my kids every time, every lecture, they are my examples. And yes, things are changing, but you are bringing it in a very beautiful way. And I love that. And I thank you for that.
Thank you.
You talked about vulnerability. You talked about what you actually experience. And I want to take you to the biggest failure of yourself as a result of some interaction with customers. What is the biggest, most critical failure with customers? The one that affected your entrepreneurial journey the most. And if you can take a minute and tell us a bit more about your professional history in a few words, so we'll know what you went through until today, it would be great.
Well, in terms of my previous companies, well, it's not really a previous company because it still runs, but the first company I started was a company called Jet Virtual, where we basically answered calls for many different companies. So we were a call answering service. And essentially, I built that up and I had a whole lot of issues with managing staff. I've come to realize that my strengths in business are more on the creative side and the development side rather than the actual working within the business and dealing with customers and dealing with staff. But I had to learn that the hard way. So I actually literally, it was terrible. I made one of my staff members cry once because I'm quite a perfectionist. So I like things to be a certain way. And, I didn't like the way she handled a call. She must have had a bad day. And the next thing I know, this, you know, 55-year-old woman is crying. I was about 25 at the time. Wow. And so, you know, I'm this young 25-year-old making this 55-year-old woman cry. And I was like, oh my goodness me, you know. And so I came to realize very quickly that I needed to do something different. And so what I did was I actually outsourced my whole company to a competitor of mine, which sounds like a crazy thing to do, but it was the best thing for me. It was the best decision I've made in my business career, because what I did was I actually freed myself up to focus on my strengths instead of trying to do things that I hated doing or things that I wasn't good at. I just completely focused on my strengths. And now what I do in business is anytime I don't like doing something or I'm not good at it, what I'll do is I'll outsource it or I'll delegate it to somebody else, so that I can focus on the things that I actually enjoy doing and I'm good at doing.
You told us a bit about this example with the 65 years old lady. She was one of your people. And I want to ask you, do you remember, do you have any example of a failure that has to do with customers, with not approaching the customers, with not having the right focus with customers?
You know, it's a good question. I'll be honest with you, I haven't worked with customers for about 7 years now. My company pretty much has a customer service manager, which I don't have to deal with customers anymore. So
I understand.
That's why I would find it hard to remember a time when I had a customer. I mean, I don't remember a specific incident, but I will say one thing, and that is that what I found is that if a customer is not happy, the worst thing to do is to argue with the customer and to try and tell them that they're wrong or that you're right. Or, you know, the best thing in that situation, in fact, I would even go further and say you've actually got an opportunity here in this situation to make that customer one of the best, most loyal customers, because the statistics and studies have showed that a customer who has had a bad experience and then it was turned around becomes more loyal than he was ever before, and he becomes more loyal than a customer who actually never had anything go wrong, which is fascinating. And so I would just say that if you have a customer that's not happy, the best thing to do in that situation is to try and put yourself in their shoes and do the best you can to, you know, to work with them within reason. Because I also believe that you should never be bossed around by your customers. Ultimately, if you've got a customer who's taking up way too much time and energy, I would fire them. I would get rid of them. I would say, you know what? I actually know a really good company that I can recommend you to. Please go to them, because sometimes it's just not worth it. But within reason, if you can turn a customer around, they will be your most loyal customer.
Definitely. I do definitely agree with you on that. And I want to ask you, can you recommend the best, most effective technological or digital tool that's related to customer focus, marketing, or sales? Somebody said Facebook.
I would actually say ClickFunnels right now, because ClickFunnels is, for me, this is one of the best marketing tools you can use today, because essentially what you're doing is you're getting people into a funnel, because most people don't buy first time. That's number one. Number two, you know, you'd be surprised how many companies make most of their money on the upsell. So, for example, McDonald's, they actually don't make any money on their burger, but they actually make most of their margins are on the drink and the fries, the upsell. And so it's the same thing with any business you have. There's so much money on the table that you're leaving behind because you're not upselling your clients and customers. And I think one of the best platforms to do that on is ClickFunnels.
Great. And is there any service provider, like a mentor, a consultant, advertiser, etc., that had a major impact, or any other person, it can be a book as well, that had a major impact of your customer success and or your business success and can help other entrepreneurs as well?
Yeah, there's a book called The E-Myth by Michael Gerber, which I highly recommend, because that was for me the aha moment when I realized that I'm not supposed to be working in my business, but I'm supposed to be working on my business. The difference between somebody who, you know, is an entrepreneur and somebody who just basically works for their business, essentially, is how involved are you in the day-to-day functionalities and deliverables of the business. If you're too involved inside the business, it's very hard for the business to scale. The only way to really truly scale a business is to be working on the business, on the outside, from the outside in rather than from the inside out. So that was, again, that was just a book that really helped me in my career.
And that's the time to remind our listeners that everything that you talk about will be any link to your podcast or the things that you talked about will be on the show notes of this interview. You are more than welcome to see the links and check this book as well as the ClickFunnels. And what is the one thing you are most fired up about today? In life, what are you really excited about?
Well, actually, right now, I'm very excited because I'm actually launching a book. I believe it's going to be the next 8 to 10 weeks, roughly. The book is going to be called Get Featured, and it's going to be basically helping people to get featured and to build their self-brand and build the network. So pretty much what I was discussing in this episode, the book is pretty much going to give you the how to, you know, how to build that brand and how to get featured, how to get yourself out there so you can start building a following. And, if your listeners want, they can actually, join the mailing list so that when we actually launch the book, they can get, a free copy of the book when it comes out for a limited period of time. So if they go to getfeatured.com/book, that's www.getfeatured.com/book, and then they just put their email in and they'll be in the mailing list, so when the book comes out they'll be the first to know.
And we will put this link as well at the show notes, and everybody will be able to find it there. Of course, I'm going to sign myself to get the book. It sounds very very interesting, really. And if you look behind at everything you did, you're a humble person. You didn't talk a lot about success and being famous. But if you look at about everything that you did, what is the one factor that affected most on your success? There are many things that affected successes that we are experiencing or having. What is the thing that really, the factor that really experienced your success or really affected your success?
I would say that it's, I guess, the persistence that I've always had to never give up. That's just something that I've had since I was very young, is I've always, if I wanted something, I would always push and push and push and push. And to me, that's one of the biggest things that's helped me to be successful, is I just, you know, a lot of people, they talk themselves out of things. They talk themselves out of success. So they'll already tell themselves, oh, I can't do it because of this. Or I'm never going to be able to do that. Oh, I could never charge that much money. Nobody's going to pay that much money. But, you know, it's all in your head. And if you talk yourself into things more, you'll do more. And so for me, it's basically the ability to talk myself into doing things.
Wow. And before we say goodbye, I just want to, first of all, ask you for your last piece of guidance, if you have any, and what is the best way to connect with you? We have the link for the book, but if someone wants to connect with you or get you as a mentor, what is the best thing for that? And what is your last piece of guidance for our listeners?
My last piece of guidance would be, to those listening, take one thing that you gained, if you gained something. I mean, I don't know if you have, but hopefully if you did gain something out of this episode, take one thing and make it real, make it practical, take some sort of action on it. Because I think a lot of people, we listen to podcast shows and we get inspired and we get great ideas, but then nothing ends up happening because we don't take the action. And then we listen to another episode and we read another book and we go to another seminar and we get inspired and motivated, but nothing happens. And the reason why nothing happens is because we need to get into a habit of doing, a habit of producing and taking action. So I would just say, take one thing, one idea that you took out of this, one idea, one thing, and go and put that into action.
I'm sure that in your podcast and in your site, people can find a lot of things that will help them to implement things that they heard today. And I'm sure the book will help with that as well.
Yeah, and if they want to reach out to me, they can email me as well. I'm always happy to hear from people. You can email me at daniel@getfeatured.com. That's daniel@getfeatured.com. And as I said, the book, if you wanted to sign up for the book, it's getfeatured.com/book.
Daniel, I would like to thank you so much. It has been really fascinating. You brought such fresh look or insights about the way we should handle today in terms of business. And I gained much more than one thing from this conversation, and I'm sure our listeners as well. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Khayyat. And also, I was going to add one more thing.
Sure.
I forgot to mention my podcast show. If people want to listen to it, they can go on iTunes and type in Can I Pick Your Brain? That's the name of the show. So it's on iTunes, and it's called Can I Pick Your Brain? Or if they go to my website, it's danielgeffen.com with one F, danielgeffen.com.
They will sure do, and I must say that the way I see it, quite a lot of people are listening to Can I Pick Your Brain? You are in a very good place there in iTunes, and thank you. Thank you very much for being here.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye. Until next time, it all goes down to this. You either reach or miss. Keep reaching your goals and visions. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur. You can find all the information, links, and resources that was mentioned at the show in our website, reachormiss.com. See you next week.